So we're at the conference today in Montreal, big subject, environmental assessments and impacts. From what you've researched, what you've seen, tell us, in terms of the Greenlandic system, what are some of the strengths it has from your point of view compared to the Canadian system?
One of the major differences is the whole issue of land claim agreements, where in Greenland you have like one public system that is kind of unified, and I find it that it makes it easier to assess in a similar fashion all over the region, and there is a stronger sense of connectedness so that people can relate to projects in other regions of Greenland. I find it also a really good strength that we have this white paper system, which is where any oral or written comments that have been delivered to the organizers of the environmental impact assessment, those comments are commented by the companies and then assessed by scientific institutions and the government, and then they decide how to address these concerns in the final EIA report, and this becomes public. So you can really see, you know, if you comment on something, you can see how it was handled and whether it changed the report or not.
That was a really interesting point in your talk and something that I hadn't heard about before, but that way every comment is incorporated into the process.
Yes, and it increases the transparency and the accountability and thus the trust in the system.
So we've talked about the strengths. When you look at the system, Greenland and Canada, what are maybe some of the weaknesses of the Greenlandic system compared to how we do things, how things are done in Canada generally?
I would say that one of the weaknesses would be that we have so little emphasis on Indigenous people's rights. These are not really addressed in any way in either acts or legislations or the guidelines. Some would say, well, it's just a choice of term if you call it public consultation or Indigenous consultation. But you kind of miss an aspect of the whole rights lens. So you might miss out elements that should have been more thoroughly discussed in this whole EIA process.
Someone listening to this might be surprised because Greenland is majority Indigenous. Why do you think that terminology is important or the difference that it would make?
Due to the historical context with the relationship with Denmark and the whole European systems, where they don't really have that many Indigenous peoples, or if any at all, except for the Samis in the north, it's a matter of not just adopting and adapting the systems from your former colonizer. It's also about embracing your initial identity as an Indigenous peoples, which I feel that we have kind of missed out on when we drafted our own self-government act. It doesn't mention at all that we are Inuit, that we are Indigenous peoples. And it seems like you kind of lose some of your history in this context. This is totally playing out differently in Canada and Alaska. I see that there is a strong knowledge and emphasis on being Indigenous, and I think that would be a strength if we included that more in our own processes. So we should decolonize ourselves, I would say.
Do we know why that was left out?
It just haven't been discussed at all on a political level, even though, you know, we are Inuit, led by Inuit, we have a public democratic system, and it happens so that we are the majority of the country, and this makes it easier to make it culturally appropriate. But if we should ever happen to become the minority, which, I don't know, wouldn't be unlikely in a long term, we would suddenly not be able to protect our culture as much. And this is a red flag that we should keep in mind.
And how does the environmental impact assessment process maybe need to change in order to keep up with some of the changes of climate change or the unexpected effects climate change is having on the North?
Currently, there is definitely a lack of emphasis on climate changes in environmental impact assessments. It's not mentioned anywhere in the table of contents of issues that you have to address during this impact assessment. I know right now the Arctic Council Working Group Sustainable Development working group is coming up with an initiative to develop new best methods or best practices about environmental impact assessments in the Arctic, and specifically also with indigenous peoples and climate change. In this process, I would definitely push for more awareness of climate change in the assessment processes. We need this lens to be climate ready.
And just sort of then to sum up, if this isn't done, or if we don't see climate change actually incorporated into these assessments, what do you think is at risk?
For an environmental perspective, this is definitely the risk of infrastructure stability, or even the whole project mitigation measures. If they don't take into account climate change effects that are relevant to their project, they may not anticipate the coming pollution problems that might occur, or the expenses of having to rebuild infrastructure. So it's an economic and environmental issue, maybe less a social issue, because people have been pretty good at adapting to those changing conditions, although it might have a risk to the culture, especially in the north with the traditional lifestyles that are changing super fast. We may not be ready to handle those social issues that may arise from these changes. So this is definitely an issue that needs to be taken account of. And I think even though there wouldn't be any revision right now of the current legislation about impact assessments, I'm pretty sure that there would be increased pressure and attention, both from within the country and from the external. So I definitely think that there will be increased awareness about it.
Pernu Negra, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Goeienacht.